Breaking news, a man killed, three others injured in a shooting that put a hospital on lockdown. WRAL is live on the scene with what investigators are sharing so far.
This front is on the move and bringing rain chances. Who could see showers or even a rumble of thunder? I'll time out your evening and the rest of your week.
Then first on WRAL, why Raleigh Mayor Marianne Baldwin is not running for re-election.
This daycare center is closing for good in just a few weeks.
Child care is necessary for a lot of families.
I'll tell you the hurdles that parents are facing as they try to find child care.
Right now, here at 7 o'clock, the heat is fueling the chance for some storms tonight in parts of our area as we take a live look at Durham behind us. Got some clouds in the sky there as the ball players take the field. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. Then tomorrow, we could see some showers. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Kat, give us a timeline on both.
We have a few showers just starting to pop up around the Sandhills right now. It's our southern counties along this front that had the best chance for rain this evening. And if we zoom in here and use the dual Doppler 5000 radar, you can get a better look. The rain right now is in Moore County. It's popping up just west of Southern Pines. It's likely to drift that direction, and it's going to be headed for Carthage. These showers could arrive in Fayetteville as we get closer to 8 o'clock this evening. Futurecast has been very consistent with that. In this update, a Futurecast comes in every hour, run after run. It's showing rain in Fayetteville and even some thunderstorms with lightning between about 8 and 9 o'clock. I think as we get to 10, 11 o'clock, the activity should die down on the radar, and then we'll have some additional small chances for rain tomorrow. It's definitely not a washout, a 20% chance of just a quick shower midday, but it's really during the evening tomorrow that we would have an isolated shower or storm chance as we see a cold front start to dissipate as it moves closer to us. Coming up, I'll have a closer look at what to expect in terms of our next decent chance for rain, Ashley.
All right, Kat, thank you.
Let's get to this breaking news now. This is out of Sampson County. A man is dead after four people were shot, sending a hospital on lockdown for hours. All of it starting at Boykin Road right near Shawn Lane. As you can see, Sky 5 over that scene earlier today. The victims, some of them drove themselves to Sampson Regional Medical Center in Clinton. We find WRAL's Aaron Thomas in that area with the latest on this situation and what we know, Aaron.
Yeah, Dan, just within the past hour, we saw up to 10 patrol cars come out from this back dirt road over here. Now, at the height of this investigation, we saw dozens, and I mean dozens, of evidence markers that were right here in a homeowner's driveway. In fact, we can show you the video. We spotted more than 80 evidence markers placed during the investigation. We also saw sheriff's deputies that were collecting evidence around that crime scene tape. And there was a burgundy car stopped in the middle of the road that caught our attention. Investigators telling us that it's evidence, but they have not shared the specifics as to how it's involved with this particular crime scene. Now, an altercation led to this shooting. That's what we're told from sheriff deputies. Four people were shot and one person has died. We're still working to find out what led to this altercation and the names of the people involved. We are also still waiting to hear back from the Sampson County Sheriff to see if he's open for any interviews. On our late news, we're actually going to be hearing from a neighbor, a concerned one, about what she heard and saw from this rapid gunfire that took place this afternoon. Dan?
All right. Aaron in Sampson County, let us know what you can figure out. Thanks.
One person is in custody. Another is in the hospital after a stabbing outside of this Walmart on New Bern Avenue in East Raleigh. This was the scene this afternoon near a bus stop. Officers blocking part of the parking lot with crime scene tape. Police have not released any information about the victim, aside from the fact that he's a man or the person that they have in custody.
A big development tonight. Raleigh Mayor Marianne Baldwin not seeking re-election. She will not run again. WRAL first to report this. Her announcement in the last 2 hours, citing a cancer diagnosis and family health concerns.
These events made life even more stressful, leaving me to wonder how much more I could take.
WRAL's Matt Tallhelm takes a look at the mark that she's made on this city and how she came to the tough decision not to run for a third term.
I talked with Mayor Marianne Baldwin before she made that announcement publicly. She tells me she is at peace with her decision to step down at the end of her term this year. In this 8.5-minute campaign video, Baldwin revealed she was diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer last year and underwent a successful surgery. She also says her husband recently had open heart surgery and complications from that. Baldwin says her heart and her head were in conflict, with her heart feeling she should run again.
But my head was telling me something different. It's telling me it's time to devote my energies to myself and my family and to find other ways to serve.
Baldwin's 5 years as mayor has seen a lot of change, from the pandemic to riots downtown following the death of George Floyd. Raleigh has also grown rapidly during her time in office. Critics say the mayor is too developer-friendly. She also faced criticism for disbanding the citizen advisory councils, and one group even tried to recall her from office. Mayor Baldwin says she is focused on governing for the next 7 months and has a lot more she wants to accomplish before a new mayor takes over in December. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
And speaking of a new mayor, with Baldwin now out of the race, the competition is really heating up. So far, at least six candidates have announced their plans to run. Those include, so far, City Councilor Corey Branch, former State Treasurer Janet Cowell, and Terrence Ruth, who you may remember lost to Baldwin in the last election.
The numbers are in. Sports betting is more popular than expected in North Carolina. In just 3 weeks in March, North Carolinians wagered $659 million on sports. Those bettors won $590 million. WRAL Sports investigative reporter Brian Murphy says these numbers exceeded expectations.
Now, a lot of that was cold hard cash, and a lot of it was promo bets that the operators have been using to get people to their sites. But in the end, you know, bettors in North Carolina lost $66.5 million in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, the house always wins, right? State law places an 18% tax on the gross wagering revenue. For March, that amounted to $12 million in tax revenue. A variety of groups will benefit, including athletic departments at some state schools.
Here's a story you probably haven't thought about in a while, but Governor Roy Cooper's COVID lockdown orders apparently violated the rights of some small businesses. That's according to a new ruling today from the State Court of Appeals. Bar owners sued Cooper over his decision in 2020 to let restaurants reopen but to keep bars closed. Cooper said it was to balance public health with helping the economy. Today, the court sided with bar owner Zach Medford. He lost four Raleigh bars in the pandemic and spearheaded the lawsuit with other bar owners.
It's been 4 years. We've lost some incredibly amazing bars over that time. And it took this long, but we finally got a win. So it feels really good today. We're celebrating.
The case now goes back to trial. A lower court judge will decide what, if anything, needs to be done to help the bar owners. The owners want financial compensation. For more on the ruling, go to the NC Capital section of WRAL.com.
Several parents have just a few weeks to find new child care for their kids. It comes after they got a letter saying a locally owned Rollsville daycare center was closing for good. WRAL's Destiny Patterson talked to parents scrambling to make sure their kids are taken care of during the day.
This daycare center that's been open for more than 25 years will close down for good next month. And now parents are racing against the clock trying to find new child care. But the main hurdles come down to two things: availability and affordability. Amber Clark and her husband's two-year-old daughter grew up here.
This is the only place she's known since she was 3 months old.
All good things must come to an end, a classic saying that now applies to their daughter's home away from home. In a letter, the Rhymes and Reasons owner cites her retirement, COVID, and staffing challenges for its closure.
I cried.
It's a stress felt by the whole community.
A lot of places around here either have a ridiculous wait list, or the prices are just like so out of budget.
North Carolina is considered a child care desert. On average, more than five families with infants and toddlers are competing for every available licensed child care space. When the kids do get enrolled, it comes with a price tag.
Some I've called have been $1,500 a month. When you have to make the decision between, does one parent just quit their job and stay at home because all of their paycheck will go to childcare? That's so unfortunate and it's so unfair.
The owner did send home some recommendations to other locally owned daycare centers that families can send their kids to. They officially close here on May 3rd. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News, Wake County.
Lawmakers introduced a new bill to help address issues like staffing shortages at these child care centers and then to encourage new child care centers to open. It's not a whole lot, but these providers would get up to $5,000 in tax credits. Every dollar counts. You can read more about that at WREL.com.
Still ahead, a new push to ban a dangerous drug sold at convenience stores. What else lawmakers are hoping to do to keep people safe from what they call gas station heroin? Plus,
a data-driven approach to tackling walkability around the city. I'll explain coming up.
So state lawmakers are considering banning a drug known as gas station heroin. They could take some action on this as soon as they come back to session next week. This drug is, the formal name is tianeptine. It's commonly found in convenience stores and in vape shops. It's marketed as a dietary supplement, sometimes called Neptune's Fix or Tiana's Red. But in large doses, it does have the same effect as heroin, including its addictiveness. Representative Steve Ross says the average person would have no way of knowing that.
People may unknowingly get it, try it, use it, get addicted, and not even realize what's happening at the time.
The FDA has issued voluntary recalls on some tianeptine products, but the drug is not technically illegal. Ross and other lawmakers are seeking to add it to the state's controlled substances list. Nearly a dozen other states have already taken that step.
Federal investigators say a preliminary report shows this small plane's engine lost power before landing in a Rocky Mount neighborhood. That's according to the NTSB. The single-engine Cessna hit utility lines before it touched down on Raleigh Boulevard Sunday. Surveillance footage from this nearby gas station shows the plane was just a few feet off the ground, narrowly missing a car driving in the opposite direction. And amazingly, no one was hurt.
Well, it's a great night to walk around in downtown Raleigh as we take a live look downtown. But you want it to be safe when you're walking around in a downtown area, and today city leaders talked about that when it comes to sidewalks, where they should be built to improve walkability in certain areas. WREL's data journalist Allie Ingersoll has been tracking walkability for several years now and shows us the changes you could see.
In about the 20 minutes I've been out here, I've seen more than a dozen people walking up the street using this sidewalk. A year ago, though, it didn't even exist. So residents are saying it's a great addition to their part of the city.
Well, it just keeps them off the street when these cars are flying down here and weaving in and out, so it's just safer for the kids and for adults and for dog walkers.
Joe McKenna and his North Hills neighbors decided several years ago this stretch of their neighborhood needed a sidewalk. So they went through the city's petition program, got 61% of their neighbors to sign on, and with council approval and funding, it was recently put in. But that program doesn't exist anymore. It was shut down after an audit by the city found a disproportionate number of petitions from more prosperous areas with a higher percentage of white residents, which resulted in more new sidewalks being built in those communities. That meant less street improvement in other areas, leaving them less walkable and more dangerous. A city survey shows that's important to all residents.
Folks want sidewalks all over the city.
To make sure every community's voice is taken into consideration, the city has a new plan, a data-driven approach. Ann Conlin, the city's business intelligence supervisor for transportation, presented this policy change to council and explains.
We're looking comprehensively and identifying all the needs, and then we'll look at inputs like where are bus stops, where are schools and parks, what are the volume of vehicles on the road, what are the speeds of those vehicles, and all of those different factors will influence the overall score.
Conlin says there are between 75 to 100 key connections around the city they've already identified that need sidewalks.
It's critical that people have access and a choice to walk.
She's hopeful the new policy will increase safety and walkability for everyone around the city. For WREL News, I'm Allie Ingersoll.
Johnston County school leaders are making sure students realize the consequences of dangerous driving. The school district demonstrated a mock car crash at Princeton Middle School this morning. The crash looks very real, with firefighters, EMS, a stretcher, even actors appearing to be grieving families. It's all about making sure that young kids, young drivers, know what can happen if they're not careful.
All we're trying to do is plant the seed and keep something in the back of a student's mind, but hopefully they'll make the decision before they get behind the wheel of a car. That'll prevent something like this. This is a tragic thing that happens every day here in Eastern North Carolina. And we're just hoping to plant the seed that maybe it's one thing they think about before getting behind the wheel of the car.
This was Johnston County's second mock car crash presentation of the semester. The next one is tomorrow morning at West Johnston High School, with another next Wednesday at Cleveland High School.
Another earthquake was reported in North Carolina. It happened this morning around 5:50 in Bryson City. Bryson City is about 70 miles southwest of Asheville. This earthquake was pretty deep, about 8.9 miles down. It was a 2.1 magnitude. This is the second earthquake reported in Bryson City in just the past month. There have been 10 earthquakes in North Carolina so far this year.
Climate anxiety, eco grief. Those are just a couple of the terms used to describe the distressing feelings about the state of our Earth. Recent studies show climate anxiety is prevalent and on the rise. NC State student Kate McLeod is part of one of the student groups putting on a free event on campus tomorrow evening to help the public cope with these feelings.
So tomorrow we're hosting an eco-grief workshop focused on helping people find strategies and tools to cope with feelings of stress and anxiety surrounding climate change.
A Durham-based therapist will lead the workshop and go over tips and tools to funnel negative feelings into positive action. The workshop will be at 5:30 p.m. at NC State's Tally Student Union. You can find the registration link at WRAL.com under the climate change tab.
What a warm day it was today. We take a beautiful look outside the WRAL studio tower. The sky looks pretty, but we have seen the skies open up a little bit in certain areas with a little bit of rain. Kat Campbell joining us now with, well, it looks like a couple raindrops behind you there.
Yes, Pinehurst has been seeing some rain. It's lightened up a bit in the past 5 minutes I've been watching this shot, but we saw all the parade of golf carts coming in as everybody had to bail due to the rain, and there was some lightning in the area as well. Taking a look at the dual Doppler 5000 radar, you can see the lightning is on the west side of town, but there's a lot of lightning in this cell and it continues to drift east. So if you know anybody who is out golfing in that area right now, please send them a quick text or call them. Let them know they need to head in. This storm has a lot of lightning. It's very slowly drifting to the east, and our southern counties have the best chance of a storm through about 10, 11 o'clock tonight. It's due to this front that we have stalled out in the area. These storms should track along this front or develop along the front this evening. That's why I think the better chance for rain should stay south of the triangle. Not everybody sees rain today. The next best chance for rain actually comes this weekend. Between now and this weekend, we are going to have a couple of small chances for rain. So I do want to mention that, but let's talk about the weekend. Saturday is trending a bit drier, a 20% chance for rain. Sunday features the best chance for rain, especially later in the day. Looks like it would be pretty light rain right now, but we'll be on the cooler side of the front. Not expecting storms, but a big cool down coming. Also this weekend, the Lyrid meteor shower will peak. This year, we're going to have the moon really illuminating the sky quite a bit, so it's not one of the best years for viewing, but there should be about 10 to perhaps up to 20 meteors per hour if you're in a very dark location. I think that number would be closer to 10, though, given how bright the moon will be outside. Just want to let you know about that. For tonight, low temperatures are in the upper 50s to lower 60s, a stray storm possible, and tomorrow we could see a few spotty showers, perhaps an isolated rumble of thunder. Highs are back in the low 80s for most of us tomorrow. During the day, rain chances stay pretty low. It should be dry as kids head to school in the morning. There will be a 20% chance of a passing shower. I wouldn't expect any storms, though, right around lunchtime. After that, we should be dry for kids heading home, and it would be until late tomorrow evening that we would have a chance of an isolated storm moving in. Looking past tomorrow, Thursday looks beautiful if you're a fan of summer. 87 degrees for the high, mostly sunny skies. Friday and Saturday, we have a 20% chance for rain. That chance goes up Sunday, and here comes the cool down. High temperatures trending even cooler. Upper 60s Sunday, mid 60s Monday, and three nights in a row with low temperatures in the upper 40s again. Dan and Ashley?
That's going to feel like a change. Thanks, Kat.
My husband recently had us go through the Bojangles drive-thru because he was craving more than anything else.
Good call.
Bojangles French fries. Mm-hmm. Well, now you can get your Bojangles fix on the West Coast, where the Southern favorite is putting down roots next, coming up. NC State's DJ Horn declared for the draft after a standout season with the Wolfpack.
He looked good deep into those tournament games. The star point guard and Raleigh native posted this photo on Instagram saying the journey continues. Horn's been a key player with the Pack since he transferred from Arizona State. Fans loved him, even taking themselves to rename Horn Street on campus during the NCAA tournament. I wish him a lot of success. It'll be great. The Summer Olympics in Paris is quickly approaching, and the Today Show has a big celebration coming up tomorrow morning.
Hey, everybody, it's official. The countdown to the Paris Olympics is on.
And before we all head over there, today is bringing Paris to the plaza.
That's right. Experience all of the magic of the City of Light right here with us.
With only 100 days to go, meet our Team USA hopefuls and returning champions, and they're going to take over our plaza for an Olympic celebration.
And we're going to check in with our good friend Mike Tirico on the ground in Paris.
We can't wait. It's going to be epic.
And it's all happening right here on Today.
It is going to be epic. I love the Olympics. Especially the summer games. You can tune in to WRL tomorrow morning as the Today Show brings Paris to the plaza.
We've got to get Liz McLaughlin on that screen. There we go. There she is. WRL is your home for all things Olympics, and our Liz McLaughlin is bringing you live coverage from Paris this July. A North Carolina fast food staple is expanding to the West Coast.
Lucky them. Bojangles is taking the concept to California next year. An agreement made this week involves opening 30 new locations in Los Angeles County over the next 6 years. Known for its chicken, biscuits, and sweet tea. Why am I saying that to you? You know. Bojangles opened its first location in Charlotte in 1977, became a beloved fixture across the Southeast, and now has locations as far north as Pennsylvania and as far west as Texas. So,
going to go to L.A.
Yeah, enjoy it. So now that we've got you hungry, make sure to join us tomorrow for a Tar Heel Traveler special.
Scott Mason treats us to good eating across the state. From breakfast to burgers, seafood to tacos, he digs in for a restaurant special he calls Simply Yum. Watch the Tar Heel Traveler special tomorrow at 7:30. Thanks for making WRAL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.